want to again talk tonight a little bit about the shield of faith. Now, don't forget what I said last time. I said that faith in Christ, faith in God, in Paul's life, and the protection of God didn't stop him from being whipped, from being stoned, from being nearly drowned in the sea. It didn't stop him from being kicked out by people putting slander on him. None of this faith that he had in God stopped any of these things, because we Christians, we've shifted a little bit, because what we do is we say, well, if the Lord loves me, why did this happen to me? It might be because he loves you that he allowed it to happen to you, to get your attention. But I don't know. But the point I want to make is that he allows things to come into our lives to deal with us so that he may become more real. I've had a tough week because I've talked to some Christians this week and that used to go on well for the Lord. Used to go on well. And I haven't seen some of them for a little while. And now I see that some are going back worse than they were when I first met them. And you have to ask yourself, what has happened? What has happened to these people's faith? What has happened to them? And when you examine their circumstance and you examine what they're doing, this is what you discover. A very simple thing that they have taken away from their lives, the very provision that God has made to protect their lives. They've made themselves naked in the sight of God. They've taken away the things that belong to him. And for example, this shield of faith is one of them. If we're going to have faith in God, where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have faith in what God has said. We have faith in what Jesus has done. How do we know what Jesus has done? We know because it's in the Bible. The Bible tells us what Jesus has done. And the thing that astonished me as a young Christian, I discovered Jesus, or he discovered me, before I discovered the Bible. I knew Jesus before I knew the Bible. And so I didn't know anything about the Bible, hadn't read it. And Jesus came into my life, and he meant so much to me, and he was so close to me, that then I started reading the scriptures, and I discovered that the things that were in the Bible were already in my heart, that he had done the work, and he was doing the work in my heart and in my life. He says, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, and I'm being kept. I discovered that. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. And I was discovering truth all the time. And that's what Jesus said. And then the more I knew about the Holy Spirit, and the more the Holy Spirit got hold of my life, the more I got hold of Jesus. And all that's in the Bible. What I want to share with you is a very simple thought. And it's this, that this shield of faith, this faith that we have in God, which is the very thing that Satan works so hard to take away from us. I want to make this statement again for everybody's ears. It is impossible. It is impossible to be a holy Christian if you're not in the Word of God. And I'll go further. If you are a Christian and you're not in the Word, you are sinning against God. You're not sinning because you're not reading the Bible. I could sit down with you for 1 hour and I could show you the sin in your heart and in your life, that some of it's hidden, but God will reveal these things. And why? How do I know they're there? Because without the Word of God being applied in your life, it is impossible for you and I to keep sin out of our lives. It is impossible. I would even go so far as to say, God has no other way of doing it. By that I mean, that if we don't listen to his word, if we don't adhere to the word, we will sin. And Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 3, "If the word that I have spoken unto you has made you clean." Are you clean tonight? Am I clean? Is our hearts clean? I don't know if you've noticed. What I've discovered is that with the things around us, the electronic especially things around us, what they do is too much of them takes away the mood and the desire for the Word of God. If you have spent an hour on Facebook, I promise you, if you have spent an hour on Facebook and you say, okay, switch off the phone, now go and pray, you won't feel like praying. You read, I'll read the Bible for half an hour. You won't read the Bible for half an hour because what was inside you is all empty. It's hollow. Now, what might happen if you say, all right, I'm going to go and spend half an hour reading the Word of God, and after I've done that, I'm going to pray. Then after you've been reading for a quarter of an hour, 20 minutes maybe, the Facebook will begin to fade away. But God made us in such a way that we can't go from over here to over here where God is. Let me illustrate what I mean. Listen to the people you hear praying from our pulpits so often. They just come up, stand up to the platform, open their mouths and start praying. And they say, when they're finished, they say, now let's sing song number 45. It's all gone. Is that the way to approach the great God of heaven? Is there a humbleness of heart when that person prays? Does it draw me close to God? Does my heart walk into the presence of God by this prayer? Because if it's not, what is it? It's words. It's words. And this is the problem. We have all the right things. We say all the right things. We do all the right things. But we're wrong. Because our heart is wrong. Our heart is wrong. And if your heart's wrong, you're wrong with God. You know, some people say, well, Barry's always trying to get you to read the Bible. No, no, no. I'm not always trying to get you to read the Bible. I'm trying to get you to walk with God. And if you want to do that, you've got to read the Word and you've got to soak yourself in the Word. Now, I am condemned because I feel very empty. Very empty. And I was complaining to the Lord about myself today. I really was. And I'm telling you that I don't think I'm smart. I don't think I'm any better than anybody here. But I want to say to you that what I'm telling you is the absolute truth. For example, let me give you an example. Things start going wrong. Things start going wrong. And what happens is you start murmuring. You start complaining because you haven't got the shield up. And the devil, while he comes in, the circumstance, maybe he even made it, I don't know, but things go wrong and we start complaining. And then we start complaining and murmuring, somebody hurts us. First we get angry. But instead of taking it to God and getting before him and saying, well, Lord, that person hurt me, but when I hurt you, you didn't throw me away. Lord, help me. Give me your love in my heart for that person. Help me to understand it. But most of all, don't let that horrible thing they did come between me and you. But you know what the problem is? That's bad enough. But when you don't have the shield, the anger turns to bitterness. Yes. Bitterness. And you start hating that person. And you want them out of your life. Bitterness. It really hurts you. Because you're not wearing the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Stop, let me ask you a question. What do you think about in life? What are you thinking about as a young person, older person, your position in life, your possessions, and all that? Okay, that's fine. Then here's a question. For every 100 times you think about your future, your life, your possessions, what you own and all that, how many times do you think about the standing of your soul before God? How many times do we think about our spiritual character? Our character. Not what I know. Oh, I can preach. People tell me I can preach. I can give them quote scripture and all this, that and the other. But am I a holy man? That's the question. Not, I'm talking about spiritual character. Not that you've got the best voice. Not that you preach the best. Not that you know the most about the Bible. What is your character like? Number one. Number two, what is your relationship with the Lord like? Abraham wasn't the only one who built altars. But Abraham's altar was for God. And Abraham's life was towards God. A lot of people go to church. Why? Why? Is it to meet with the Lord? Is it to be in the presence of God? Is it to dwell in His presence? Is it to bow your head and your heart before the great God of heaven? It doesn't hurt us to do that. It doesn't hurt us to be low before God. It doesn't hurt us. And you know, I'm telling you, the shield of faith that I'm talking about, depth of the Word of God, this depth. Remember in Psalm 80, all these things the man said, and then he, three times in that psalm, he says, turn us again. Turn us again. And when he's saying turn, he means take me away from where I am. Stop me from doing what I'm doing. And when he says us, he says it's not just me that's like this, it's other people. It's other people. And then when he says again, he's saying, you did this before, you're going to have to do it again. And I'll tell you, God will have to do it 100 times before you get to heaven. But he'll stop doing it when you stop asking him. And some of us never do. Some of us, oh, I'm going to a prayer meeting. I better read a few verses from the Bible in case Barry asks me if I've read the Bible today. Or I better pray, Lord, help me. Now, I'm not despising that, but I'm saying it's pretty futile. It's pretty futile. And so, take courage. I was telling these little girls, I was teaching Asmith's girls in the week last week, and I was trying to explain to them that God made us in His image. He didn't make us like angels. The angels are a creation of God, but He made us like Himself. Let us make man in our image. Now, there's nothing like an angel. It looks like nothing. But we are in the image of God. And if you go into that and find out what it means, it is utterly incredible. And then I said to them this thought, and you think about this. God made us in His image. And then we sinned. And then Jesus came into the world, and He was made in our image. He became a man. And He was made in our image. Now, why did He do this? He did it because God wants to make the two one. He wants us to be in Christ. Jesus is the firstborn, in the Bible it says, among many brethren. Some preacher once said that the Father loved the Son so much that He wanted to see a whole lot of little other sons too. He wanted to see that likeness in a whole lot of other people. That's a good point. And dear friends, take this. Take this into your heart. Only you know whether you've got the shield of faith or not. Only you know whether you're giving place to the devil. Only you know whether the wiles of the devil You know, I've spent a lot of time in my Christian life giving into the devil somewhere and then spending weeks getting out of it. Weeks getting out of it. All here through, throw there, over there, over there, over there. And finally God brings you back to that day, that place, that thing, where you would have got there a lot quicker if you'd have started there. And so we have to, God is very, very, very serious about our Christian lives. Remember when the children of Israel came out of Egypt? What does the Bible say? All their cattle, all their possessions came with them. And it says this in the Word of God. There was not a hoof left behind. He didn't leave a goat. He left nothing behind. Believe me, God's not going to leave anything behind in your life. You can put it down and forget about it. God won't forget about it. He will deal with it. You say, oh, well, you know, I'm not interested in that. Well, God is. It's part of your life. And what am I talking about here tonight? I'm talking about the whole Christian life. I'm talking about being a man and a woman of God. I'm talking about walking on earth in preparation for walking in heaven. If my life is centered on the electronic and on people, heaven's going to be boring. What are we going to do in heaven? There's no Facebook. What are we going to do in heaven? There's no Snapchat. What are we going to do? We'll be so bored. Isn't that crazy? But it's so true. Because that's the whole of our lives going in certain directions. I'm an old man, but if you're young, you've got to go through these temptations. You've got to come to a place where you see things and you put them in their proper place. You put them in their proper place. And it's not first place. That's God's place. And it's not second place. That's your place. This thing's hurting me. This thing's taking up my time. This thing's giving me making me have a short attention span. This thing's making me irritable when I'm not on it. This thing's hurting me. That can't be the second place. Get things in their right order. And then you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed at the difference that you have in your life. If you don't believe me, you go and talk to somebody. Talk to them for half an hour. People can't talk to you for half an hour. They can't talk for half an hour. What are they going to talk about? Because it's all on other things. They're not developing character. They're not developing personality. They're not developing as a person. They're intellectual giants and moral midgets. Absolutely. It's hard. I hope that somebody will take some of this in their heart and say, yes, that's me, and I'm going to do something about it. And the way to do something about it is to start with God. Get God in his right place. Don't forget how I started this talk. Really sad by coming across people that I've spent a lot of time with, and not just me, but really trying to help, but they're not going on. And the reason why they're not going on is because they're neglecting the fundamental things that God has ordained we have to have in our Christian lives. We have to have. And if we haven't got them, we can't walk with the Lord. Just think for a minute. Just think for a minute about Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. You should read it in the book of Acts. Here's a man. He was a fisherman, and he followed around with Jesus for 3 years, and he heard the things that Jesus said, but he never seemed to understand. And then he betrayed the Lord, and the reason why he betrayed the Lord was because he was so shallow. He was so shallow that when it came to him, well, I better not say I belong to Jesus, they might crucify me. He worried about himself. What's going to happen to me? And he's looking after himself, and so he denies Jesus. Now, this is the point that I want to make. That's how shallow he was. That's how carnal he was. All that. And then what happens? On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes upon him. Now, what changes? What changes is that God comes on the inside of Peter. God comes on the inside and changes him from the inside out. And just be warned about this. Just be warned about this. You can walk with Jesus, the Son of God, for 3 years and not change until he's on the inside. He's got to be on the inside. And until he's on the inside, you are not going to change. You're going to be respectable. You're going to be moral. You're going to say all the right things, but you will not change. That's why you struggle so much. Because you're trying. You're trying to put a square thing in a round hole. But it doesn't work. When the change comes on the inside, everything changes. And look at Peter, I'm telling you again, he did not have time. He didn't have time to do a course on theology. You can read that sermon, it is an amazing sermon. We know it was of the Holy Ghost, but Peter understood it, Peter preached it, and he was right in the middle of it, and it came from his heart and God's heart. And that's what he wants to do with us. That's what he wants to do, and that's what he will do with us. Now, I know the reason why you're in the prayer meeting is because you do love the Lord and because you do believe in prayer and because you do believe in the Word of God, or you wouldn't be here. But don't forget, it's not enough to believe in these things. You've got to practice them. You have to put them into your life. Keep doing that. I set the Lord always before my face because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I have kept the path of my feet because I want to keep his commandments. All these things are in the Bible. So I leave you with them. I hope you get something from this. I hope your heart reaches up to God and say, Lord, I want that in my life. That's what I want. I don't want to read about the shield of faith in the Bible. I want to have it in my hand and in my heart. I want to stand behind that shield. And I want the love of Christ and the power of Christ and the person of Christ to be between me and the wiles of the devil. Remember, dear friends, this, that if Satan had the temerity, if he had the depravity, if he had the arrogance to stand in front of the Son of God and try and tempt him, don't you think he'll tempt you? Who are you? Of course he's going to tempt you. So remember that. You're not safe. You have to retreat into Jesus all the time. We're on the battlefield. We're in the world. We're not of it, but we're in it. And we'll fall. We'll fall, but we'll get up. The righteous fall 7 times and rises up again. The wicked fall and say, that was nice, I'd like to do that again. That's the difference. So, dear friends, take it to your heart. Say, Lord, the only safe place is with him. Nowhere else is safe. Nothing can keep you except the love of God. Amen.